Bags down, spikes on, welcome to the track. Hi, my name is Colin Waitzman. I'm going to be your host for this episode of Track World News presented by Track Barn. And today we have really two topics that we're going to be discussing. We had Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce running a 10.67 for the second time, tying her world lead in the 100 in Paris, as well as previewing the sprinting events here for the U.S. TF Championships to see who's going to be qualifying for the world team coming in July. All of that and more, so you definitely don't want to miss it. Before we get into it, make sure you leave a like, comment, subscribe. Helps us know that you're enjoying the content and you're liking the stuff that we have going on for you all. Before we go any further, I want to give a huge shout out to the sponsor of today's video, Manscaped. As track athletes, we're going to be running tons of miles every week and can be really sweaty and gross after a hard day of practice, but those days are behind us. Manscaped just sent me their brand new performance package, which comes with the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Look, I've tried a lot of razors in my day, but the Lawnmower 4.0 is just different. Its ceramic blade helps reduce grooming accidents, LED light allows you to shave anytime, anywhere, and since it's waterproof, you can even take it in the shower if you want. When shopping with Manscaped, use code TWN at checkout to get 20% off your entire order, plus free shipping worldwide. Show up to your next meet looking good. If you want to be the best, you gotta look the best. Link is in the description, and now back to the video. Up first, we have Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce. So Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, she runs another 10.67, does it in Paris, and looked very, very clean doing it. This entire race, she got out fast, and then she just started really peeling away from the entire competition. It wasn't really close from 20 meters out. Her form, her smoothness, delivery, her head wasn't bobbing around. It was just a very, very clean run for her. And it's coming in at the right time. Like right now, you're gonna be going into Jamaica Champs this upcoming weekend, same weekend as USATF. And obviously you're going to be having the World Championships coming in later on. And so running another 10.67 right at this time, it couldn't really come at a better moment for her. And so she's really priming to do well here at this World Championships. I mean, this now gave her another record. She now has the most sub 10.8 runs of a woman with 24, when that she's blowing everybody in the competition out the water. And a lot of people obviously compare Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce to Elaine Thompson-Herah, because those are really the two names for who can potentially win this world championship. That's what it's been for the last year or so, and that's going to be continuing here. And so how do they stack up? Well, so far this season, as we said, Shelly-Ann, 10.67. Elaine Thompson-Herah, she's only ran a 10.79. And if you look at the two racing strategies this season, or scheduling strategies, I guess you could say, they're very, very different. Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce has only raced in four total races, two 100 meter races and then two 200 meter races. While if you take a look at Elaine Thompson-Herah, she has done much, much more. She's done some indoor races, she's done 100s, 200s, including even a 400. And so they have varying strategies. And Elaine Thompson-Herah has also mentioned how she has not done a few races, especially over in Europe, due to some injuries that she might be feeling, or just some tightness, soreness, whatever it might be. And so it's interesting how they have two very different race strategies. I mean, obviously, Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce is 6 years Elaine senior. So the fact that she has a lot more races on her legs is definitely probably playing a part in how many races they're doing right now. But so Shelly-Ann is looking really good. Obviously, I mean, the favorites going into the season was still probably Elaine Thompson-Herah. I mean, she had the second fastest time ever, fastest woman alive. And she showed she could win doing the double at the Olympics in 2020 in both the 100 and the 200. But this year, she seems like she might be beatable. She hasn't ran as fast as she normally does going into this. I mean, her PR that she set last year was after the Olympics because it was at the Prefontaine Classic. That's when she ended up doing that. And so her timing can be to peak here, obviously, for the World Championships. That's what everyone is trying to do. But I feel that I'm still a little bit concerned about what's going on, man, because she's only run this 10.79. Shelly Ann has run sub 10.7 twice this year, and both times looked very, very smooth with very little wind. And so I'm thinking, you know, right now, if I had to give an edge to an athlete between the two, I'm giving a slight edge to Shelly Ann. And not, when I say a slight edge, I mean a very, very, very slight edge. Like these, it's a toss-up right now. Like really any of these two ladies can end up winning. But if I gotta choose who might be the favorite right now, I'd be going with Shelly Ann. But we've seen that anything can happen when it comes to these two. One thing that always happens when these two race are one of them wins. When every single time both of these ladies have been on the track together in a 100 and a 200, whatever it is, one of them wins every single time, whether that's 100, like I said, 100, 200, doesn't matter. One of these ladies wins. So it's like, who's going to win at Worlds? Because one of them's going to get it. We know that. Like it's usually the one-two punch here. As of recently, the Elaine Thompson Hurrah is 4-2 against Shelly Ann over the 100 meter sprint, and her lifetime, I believe, is 9-3 against Shelly Ann. So she has more head-to-head matchup victories against each other, and so wondering how that's going to be, you know, going into play here. Jamaica Champs is going to, you know, show to be a big factor of, you know, who's looking into it, just like how USA's is going to be a big factor for us here in the States. But yeah, it's an excellent race for Shelly Ann, and peaking at the right time. She knows how to get these things done. I mean, both of these ladies do. They're both top of the line athletes. And I'd say that this race has a lot of legacy implications for both of them as well. Like if Elaine Thompson Hurrah can get this world championship victory, then she can show, hey, look, I can win at the Olympics and I can win at Worlds. And then she's really moving herself higher into that, you know, legendary conversation. I mean, I think that she's already kind of in that rare air, but many people may not because of, you know, some of the world championship performances she's had. And then if we go looking at Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce, she has the ability to hold off this lady who is 6 years her younger, and being able to get another victory, potentially even set a PR with a 10.59. If she can really get into the 10.5 ranges, she'll be looking really good as, you know, the best sprinter of all time, one of the best sprinters of all time. Definitely be giving her an opportunity to say, you know, best sprinter of all time, regardless male or female there. But so they both have a lot to win. I mean, looking at the other competition and other people that could be in that conversation, you know, Sharika Jackson has opportunity to do well. I know Sha'Carri Richardson's always going to be in that conversation. So it's going to be interesting to see who is going to actually be getting that victory in that spot. But Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce looking really good. And it's going to be exciting to see her at Worlds. I believe she has a bye into it. So I don't think we're going to be seeing her running too crazy at Jamaican Champs, but you know, you never know what's going to go on. Now, want to talk about the USA Championships. So, let's get right into it with the men's 100 here. So the men's 100, I think the top two athletes are pretty solidified on who that's going to be. It's obviously Trayvon Bermell and Fred Curley. Those are really the top two athletes that I feel it's going to be really hard to knock those guys off. Both of them have been running extremely consistently, you know, in those, you know, whether it be in the 9.8 range or in the low 9.9s. They've been at the top of the game in not only the U.S., but in the world this entire time. So I feel those are two that are almost guarantees that really don't have to worry about when it comes to making the U.S. team. Where it becomes difficult is that third spot, because as we know, Christian Coleman, he's already in it. He qualifies from 2019 when he won Doha. So the last spot is really the spot that we have to, you know, really consider who is it that it's going to be. Noah Lyles is not competing here. So he dropped the 100 in order to focus only on the two. So that's someone we don't have to worry about when it comes to this race. And for me, there are a few athletes that I'm looking at for potentially getting this last spot. One of them being Michael Williams, another one Marvin Bracey. I'm going to put Elijah Hall in the mix as well. And then probably you could say Kenny Bednarik as well, but I would say he might be a little bit farther down there. And so why I think these guys could be fighting for that third spot. So the two people that are, I would say, the top opportunity getters to get this third spot in the men's 100 would be Marvin Bracey and Michael Williams. And it's really hard to pick who I think is going to make that, because they, at their best, both of them are very hard to beat. But then they've also shown that they have some vulnerabilities, whether that be in the race or in the spotlight, or just, you know, overall health-wise. And so Marvin Bracey, like, when he's at his best, you know, he's a 9.8 guy, like, and he's someone that it doesn't appear that nerves really get to him. He's locked in. I've seen him at a couple meets, and it's like, man, this guy is zoned in on what's going on. The big hesitation for me when it comes to Marvin Bracey is just the health. Like, he shows that he is a really, really fast guy, and I think that he has opportunity to medal here at the World Championships. But it's the health, man. It's like, the best ability is availability. And if I don't know if you're going to be able to run at your top, your top speed there, that's going to make it tough for me to be able to choose you on the team. Michael Williams, we've also seen from him, he can be a danger when it comes to being on the track. Like, this dude, he's run 9.8 twice this year. One of them slightly windy. It was a 9.83 into like 2.5 wind. So just slightly windy, but he's shown that he can run in the 9.8s, you know, pretty well. And being in that sub 10 range. The one issue with him is, you know, we've seen at the national championship recently that he can be beat, at these bigger meets. And so, it showed, like, okay, his start wasn't as good at Nationals, NCAA Championships. And since his start wasn't as good, he wasn't able to really, you know, make that ground up in the second half of the race. Like, he does really well in that first few meters. And when he didn't really make that separation, it made it difficult for him to continue and then, you know, end up making it and getting the win there. And so that's the question for him. I feel, looking at how he's going into the opening round and the semis, is going to give a good idea of who it's going to be there. But it's like, which versions of Marvin Bracey and which versions of Michael Williams are we going to get? Are we going to get the healthy one and the one that has a really good start when it comes to Williams? Or is it going to be, you know, maybe there's been some nagging injuries or maybe the start's not going to be as good. You know, it's, those are the questions that we gotta ask ourselves. And then a dark horse person that I have for potentially winning or getting on the team here is Elijah Hall. Like, he has been silently progressing better and better and better. It really sucks. He almost had his first sub 10 race a couple weeks ago. It was somewhere in Europe, but it got rounded up, so it didn't end up counting. But he's someone where, I mean, he's coming in 10.02, but man, I think he's got an opportunity to potentially make this team. Like, if he can get a PR of a 9.98 right here, I mean, we've seen that just because it's the biggest meet of the year doesn't mean you're going to be getting the fastest times. We saw the NCAA championship, biggest meet of the year, people are like, oh, it's going to take a 9.7, a 9.8 to win. It took a 10 flat to win. So, like, just because it's going to be, you know, everyone, you know, we have all these fast guys and it's like, oh man, it's going to take a 9.8 to get on this team. That's not necessarily the case. It can very easily, you know, just go in and take a slower time to end up winning. You know, people just like to gas it up a little bit. But Those, I would say, are kind of the big names that we should be looking out for. Like we said, Christian Coleman already in the competition, so no need to worry about him potentially making it. He is already on the team there. Looking at the women's side of things, Sha'Carri Richardson, Aaliyah Hobbs, and then Tiana Daniels. So Daniels, she just makes teams all the time. Like she just finds a way to make teams over the last like 3, 4, 5 years, like just finds a way, gets on the team. And I'm not about to get, take somebody out that has shown all of this consistency there, you know? Aaliyah Hobbs, she's really peaking at the right moments. She finally got back under that 10.9, running a 10.83. And so she's got the most amount of momentum into here, like, because she's feeling really good. She just beat Sha'Carri Richardson, you know, friend from LSU, team, I don't know, they weren't teammates, but friend from LSU. And going into that, this race, you know, with a win, she beat her twice now, you know, once at the, when it was in Jacksonville, she must be feeling really good. When I interviewed her, last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, she was like, yeah, this momentum is great. Like this is really, you know, it's feeling really good for her. And so I think she's going to be able to pull out another good performance, be able to make this team. And Sha'Carri Richardson, I mean, as Sha'Carri Richardson, like she's a big time baller. Like she finds ways, to be great at great moments, and is someone that I'm not going to count out. I'm interested to see what kind of outfit she's gonna be rocking for USA's. But I feel that, you know, she's someone that has the star power, has the ability to go in there and really, you know, really do some damage. So we have like kind of three different stories here. You know, you got Daniels, who she just always finds a way to be on those teams. Aaliyah Hobbs, who's coming in with the most amount of momentum possible. And then you have Sha'Carri Richardson, who won USA's last year, but obviously wasn't able to go to the Olympics due to the positive marijuana test there. Some other people that you should be really looking out for when it comes to, you know, making these teams. When it comes to college athletes, Melissa Jefferson, potentially she could be someone that you should look out for. 60 meter champion there. Tanisha Terry, training partner of Sha'Carri Richardson, so someone that you gotta look out for, and had some really fast windy times earlier this year. Mary Beth St. Price, she's been on a roll as well. She was running, I think her PR going into this was like an 11, like 2 going into the season, and then she's dropped it down to under 11 and then to another under 11 time with a 10.95. So she's someone that has a very good start, and if she can hold on, she might be able to make that team as well there. So those are some people that I think, you know, could really do well. Notable names that are not, or at least a notable name that isn't competing in this, the big one is going to be Abby Steiner. She's only doing the 200 as well as Gabby Thomas. Gabby Thomas is only doing the 200 also. So both of those ladies who are 10.9 and 11.0 athletes, scratching this in regards to just do the 200 there. And talking about the 200, let's get on over to the 200 meters. So on the men's side, I have Noah Lyles, Arian Knighton, and then Fred Curley. So I feel so bad because, like, I'm picking the favorites on all of these. Like, I'm not making too many changes, unfortunately. But like I find it hard for those three athletes to be beat. So Noah Lyles obviously is coming. He ran the 19.61 earlier this year. He ran 19.5 last year. Arian Knighton coming in with the 19.49, the U20 world record there. We haven't been able to see him in a 200 since. So that's something that I might be a little bit nervous about. Like, hey, we haven't seen you in 200. We haven't seen you race a lot since you did that. Are you going to be able to execute and do that again? But he made the team in 2020. I don't see a way that that's just not going to happen again. Fred Curley, this dude's just on a mission. coming in 1976, like he showed I think he's upset that he only made the 100 team in the Olympics, and he wants to be able to make this 200 team here right now. And I think he's got a really good shot to do that. He's been very consistent, and just another person, like, I find it hard to bet against when it comes to that. Some other athletes that I think really have an opportunity to be able to make it, I'd say Kenny Bednarik. So I really wanted to put Kenny Bednarik in this. It's just this season so far hasn't been as consistent as the season he had last year. So last year was one of the best 200 meter seasons we've ever seen. Like, he had more sub 20 races than Usain Bolt did in his entire career. So Kenny Bednarik was doing really, really well. This year hasn't been as great for him. He hasn't ran as much as he did last year. And so it's just, I'm not too sure, you know, where he's at when it comes to that. Matthew Bowling, I think he's really focusing in on this, this 200 here. So it's going to be interesting, see if he can, you know, get under 20, because I feel if you're under 20, you're going to be in contention for that, potentially getting that last spot. Christian Coleman, I'm not too sure about him. I don't think he's going to be too much of a factor. The fact that he's already in on this 100, you might feel like, yeah, I'm just not gonna worry about it. You know, I'm not gonna, you know, get into all this stuff. Next athlete that potentially could be in there, Javonte Harding out of North Carolina A&T. So obviously he set that PR of running, he ran sub 20 at the NCAA championships, but he stepped on the line, so he got DQ'd. I know that guy's going to be coming back for revenge. Like, look, you had me at the NCAA championship. I'm not going to make that same mistake this year or at USA's. I'm going to be making this team. So while his, you know, seed time right now is, what is that? It's a 20.16. We know he's got talent that could go much, much faster than that. So he's someone that I think could be dangerous here. Some sprinters on the men's side that you'll notice haven't been mentioned or aren't competing, whether that's due to injury or something else. Craven Gillespie, he is not competing, as well as Ronnie Baker. There's not too much note on why or what that is, but both of them didn't really run. I've heard there's word that Craven might have gotten in a car accident earlier on, and that was why, and I don't know what's going on with Ronnie Baker. Whatever it is, I hope they're all doing well, and will be recovered and ready to compete next year. But Abby Steiner, Gabby Thomas, and then Brittany Brown. So Abby Steiner, obviously NCAA champion, NCAA record holder indoors and outdoors. She is dropping the 100 to focus in on the two, and I think she's got a really good chance to do that. Number two time, 21.80. I feel she's got a real good shot to do something dangerous. Gabby Thomas, I'm excited to see what she's going to be doing. She's pulled out of a few meets due to injury or at least for precautions. So that's something that I might be a little bit hesitant on. But I feel that, you know, she's shown, obviously, she can do well at USA's or at the World Championships, Olympics last year, as well as the USA Championship last year as well with that 21.61. And then the third one, Brittany Brown. So she has that 21.99. She ran it pretty recently in Nashville at the American Track League. So she's someone that is peaking at the right time. She's running great. She's running really well. And I feel will be be a factor there. Other athletes that you got to watch out for here. Kennedy Flannel out of Texas. She's someone that I think could potentially make this. Sha'Carri Richardson, looking out for her. Sha'Carri Richardson could do well. Quinara Hayes is dropping down to the 200 as well, on top of doing the 400. So we'll see how that goes for her. But those are really going to be the main players when it comes to who we should be looking out for. I think that Tamara Clark could potentially be in the mix there, but I'd say those are kind of your top players when it comes to the women's side of the 200 meter dash. Going into now the 400. So for the 400, I have Michael Norman, Randolph Ross, and Vernon Norwood. So right here, Michael Norman, I think he's got a good chance of continuing where he's been. So he's coming in now with a 43.60. He's shown USA championships, like national championships, he does really well. The World Championships is where I get a little bit nervous. I want to see if he can, you know, execute at a high level there. He's shown he has the talent to do it. Like, we know that he has the ability to run these really fast times, but can you do it at the World Championship? That's something that I'm wondering. Then we said Randolph Ross. So Randolph Ross, funny enough, transferring to Tennessee, not going pro. I thought that he was going pro. You know, we had, you know, interviews with his coach, or also his dad, who is now the coach of Tennessee, had mentioned that he believed that Randolph Arras was going to be turning pro this year, but he's not. He's coming back to college like for another year, which is kind of puzzling and really interesting. I have no idea why. Does he just want to get this national record? He wants to get another opportunity at winning a Bowerman. Like what's the reason here? Because he's shown he's one of the top sprinters or the top 400 meter runners in the world. So why are we going back to school? But you know, to each his own. And then third, I have making the team is Vernon Norwood. So Vernon has been, he kind of goes underserved and doesn't get talked about all too much. And I think that the fact that that happens to him, there's a lot less pressure he's probably feeling. But I think this is his year to make it. You know, coming in 44.59, it's pretty open because there's three other athletes that are ahead of him when it comes to time are college guys. You know, you got Randolph Arras, Champion Allison, and Elijah Godwin. They're coming in with faster seed times going into this. And one thing we know is that these college guys are coming off of a really difficult season where they're running almost every weekend from December until June. And so they just had the national championship, what was it, 2 weeks before? And so how are they going to be able to, you know, get back to that shape, you know, for USAs? And so I think he's going to be able to, you know, really put on a good race and be able to make that team. Michael Cherry, he's already secured the bye, so he doesn't have to worry about making the team here. So no worries on how he's going to be doing. Some names that I feel you gotta look out for. Champion Allison, coming out of Florida. He's someone, he came in second at NCAAs behind Randolph Arras. Elijah Godwin, another college guy. He runs a little bit tight. I want to see him loosen up, and then he really might start doing well. And then the last one I would say, Trevor Stewart. So Trevor Stewart's another guy where, you know, he was at a North Carolina A&T with Randolph Arras last year. And I feel that, you know, he might be able to put together a really good time there. It looked like Donovan Brazier tried to qualify at one point for the 400, but he ended up not qualifying and didn't get accepted. But so that is the men's 400. Taking a look at the women's 400 meters. So winning, I have Allison Felix. Coming in second, I had Kendall Ellis, and then third, Talitha Diggs. So those are the three athletes I'm thinking are going to be making this team. Allison Felix, she's been very strategic with the way that she's running, and she's one of those athletes where it's like, I just don't want to bet against you, because every time you do, you get it wrong. Like LeBron or Tom Brady, Floyd Mayweather, like all these athletes are people that there's, you know, veterans in the game. They know what it takes to win, and they set up their careers to do that. This is also her last USA Championships, last time racing, really. So I'm sure she's going to want to be, you know, balling out and ending up getting the win here. Then I have Kendall Ellis. So coming in with the 50.1. Thinking she's going to be able to put together another really stellar performance. There haven't been too many athletes sub 50 for the women this year. You know, there's only three athletes coming in with sub 50s, and she's right at that 50.1. So I'm thinking she's going to be able to break it down and do well there. And then Talitha Diggs. So I've been on the Talitha Diggs train this entire time. I'm not jumping off now. I have a feeling she's going to be able to be making this team. She's PR'd like the last three races, winning the NCAA championship. You know, she's got her mother who has been really, really big in the Olympic. Her entire family has the Olympic history. So I'm thinking she's going to be pulling together a very good time, making her first USA championship team. So I think she's gonna end up getting it. Some other ladies that are notables here. So Quinara Hayes. So she was on the Olympic team this past season, but she hasn't been running too much this year. She's only ran one 400, I think one 200. And so whether that's injury or whatever it is, there's just not a lot to go on. And so it's hard for me to put you, you know, in that top three right now when there's other women that have done a lot more and raced a lot more and have had, you know, more competitive times than she has. So I'm not sure if I can, you know, really put her in that conversation right now. Lena Irby, someone that I think could do well, as well as Wadelaide Jonathas. She's done the 800 and the 4, so interesting. Going to be interesting to see how that's going to be playing out there. Next, let's take a look at the 110 hurdles here. So with those, I have got, where'd it go? Devin Allen, Trey Cunningham, and Daniel Roberts. So obviously, Grant Holloway already has the bye, so no need to worry about him. Devin Allen has been unstoppable the last few meets, going undefeated, running a 12.84, you know. He's been running a lot, though, recently, and he's obviously preparing for the NFL, so that's one thing that I'm nervous about. Like, hey, how are all of these races that you've been doing over the last few days? You've done 3 races in 6 days in the United States and in Europe, and that's going into the U.S. Championships. How is that going to affect your legs? I feel like it has to affect you at least a little bit, whether it's for the good, for the bad. So that's one person that I'm a little bit cautious about. I think he's obviously still going to be making the team, but it's like, what's that time going to be? Is it going to be another crazy time, or is it just going to be a lead there? Trey Cunningham, 13-0. He's been improving every single meet for Team USA, and I feel like, not USA, sorry, for Florida, and I feel that that's going to be continuing here, and being able to potentially get sub-13. Who knows? We'll have to see. And then I got Daniel Roberts coming in third. Once again, another guy who finds ways to make teams. I think he was on that Worlds team indoors, right? I think he was. So he's a guy that I think he'll be able to, you know, to be in there. Some athletes to look at or to look out for. Eric Edwards, someone you got to look out for. You know, he was the guy from LSU that came in second. And then you have, I guess you could say, Aaron Mallett potentially could be in there, and Robert Dunning, but really those are kind of your main people that you're gonna want to be looking out for. And no real notable names that aren't in it. Pretty much everyone that you expect to be in it really is competing. Now let's take a look at the women's side here. So for the women, I have Alicia Johnson, Gabby Cunningham, and Kenny Harrison. Kenny Harrison, your world record holder in this event. She hasn't really been running crazy fast recently, but someone where if you're the world record holder, you got to give yourself the benefit of the doubt there. Alicia Johnson, she has had the, I believe, second fastest time, as well as being the only woman to beat what's her name? Puerto Rico. Oh my God. Yeah. Geez Louise. What's her name? Why am I drawing such a huge blank? Oh my goodness gracious. This is really embarrassing. I'll just cut this out. 100 hurdles. Only lady to beat Jasmine Camacho Quinn. So she's going to be feeling really good when it comes to like how she'll be able to perform, running really well. Saw her at New York. And so I think that she's got, you know, some good potential to do really well, especially when you're being the number one, you know, woman in the sport right now. Then I had Gabby Cunningham made the Olympic team, as well as made the 60 meter hurdle team. So she's been really consistent in making team. Kind of goes under the radar, but I feel she'll be in that conversation to make it. Some other ladies to look out for, Tanae Marshall, someone you got to look for, Christina Clemens, Aaliyah Armstrong, as well as Tia Jones. So those are, and Nia Ali, of course. So those are a few athletes to, you know, look out for when it comes to, hey, who else could be making this 100 meter hurdles team. So that'll be interesting there. Now, let's go on over to the 400 meter hurdles. So for the 400 meter hurdles, not too much, nothing real crazy. So we're not going to spend too much time here. Rye Benjamin, Trevor Bassett, Quincy Hall. So Rye Benjamin, easy. He's going to make it one of the second best in the world. He's better by 2 seconds than everyone else on the field. Then next, Trevor Bassett. I feel he's going to be able to pull together a really good team. I'm also a little bit biased because I'm a big fan of his, but I think he's going to get there. And then Quincy Hall, he's been extremely consistent in that mid 48 range, which is what I think it's going to take to be able to make this team. Then let's go on over to the women's side of things. Once again, even less parity, but I got Sydney McLaughlin, Dalia Muhammad, and Britton Wilson. The top two ladies, you know, they're, oh no, I'm sorry. Dalia Muhammad is guaranteed, I believe, already to make it. So maybe we got to throw in another person there. So I'd say Shamir Little. So let's put in Sydney McLaughlin, Shamir Little, and Britton Wilson. So those are three ladies I feel could be. Obviously, Sydney McLaughlin, world record holder. No one's really gonna be testing her there. Shamir Little, she was supposed to be making the team, or she was projected to make the team at the Olympics, but she ended up falling over a hurdle and so didn't make the team, even though she was leading. So that was really unfortunate. I think she'll be able to bounce back from that. And Britton Wilson, NCAA champion, she's really shown to be a force to be reckoned with when it comes to this, the 400 hurdles, at least on the college stage. So I think we got to look out for her. Obviously, Anna Cockrell, someone you gotta be cognizant of. She was the NCAA champion in the 400 hurdles last year, made the Olympics in the 400 hurdles last year as well. So I'd say she's kind of the biggest contender, for that spot here. And that is going to do it for us with the preview of the sprinting events, as well as what we reviewed from Shellyann Fraser-Pryce. If you want more content, go and follow us over on Instagram. We post almost daily there at Track World News. We're going to be doing extensive coverage of USA's leading into the World Championship, so you definitely don't want to miss that. We also have a ton of interviews coming your way, like a lot. And so it's going to be hard to kind of schedule how we're going to be doing this because we have so many and we want to make sure we get them to you in a timely rate. But that's going to do it from us here. Have a good one. Talk to you soon. Peace.